Good word. Somebody in here receive that? That was a good word. So thankful I have daughters that can hear the voice of the Father and release that. I've got a... Hey, Jeffrey, can you, Robert, one? Can y'all bump... Is anybody in here like smoking hot besides me? Man, I'm sweating like a barred mule this morning, and I'm just need a little bit of relief. Lori thought she was having a hot flash, but it was me too. All right. Got a couple announcements I want to hit right quick, and then we'll hit a little word this morning. I want to continue and kind of tie up where I was Wednesday night. The Lord speaking some really good stuff to me, I felt like, yesterday. And I want to develop that. Go ahead and turn your Bible to John 21, if you will. John 21, and we'll be there. Just a couple of announcements. Ladies' meeting, because of sickness in the church and all of that stuff, they moved ladies' meeting to February 22nd. February 22nd. Is that a Thursday night? That's a Thursday night. I encourage all of the ladies to mark your calendar and come out for that. Bring somebody with you. The first ladies' meeting we did was about all Victory ladies, and then the next one we had as many visitors as we did Victory ladies, and I want to encourage you to continue the trend. Pastor Lori is going to be bringing the word that night, so she always brings a good word, and I wish I could get her to preach more on Wednesday and Sunday, but she's kind of defers on that. But she's going to be bringing a good word that night, so it's going to start at 6:30. The refreshments will be served. They always do a good job. It'll be prettier than the men's meeting. I don't know if they'll eat as good as us, but it will be prettier than the men's meeting. So that's coming up. Also, a Be His Valentine party, February 14th. I guess that's this Wednesday. All kids are welcome at 7 o'clock. Adults and youth will have regular service, so they're going to be doing that this Wednesday at 7. And the VBS dates are June 10th through 13th. We're moving it a little bit this year. Usually we tend to have it toward the end of the summer in July. It's always a challenge, and what we do is it seems like it's always fallen right before school starts, and a lot of the teachers are like, man, I'm decorating my classroom and I'm trying to do all that, and it's very challenging. So we're going to try something different this year. We're going to do it early June. Hopefully catch it before everybody flees the country on vacations and everything. And so you'll have a week or two off after school before VBS. So we're going to start that June 10th through the 13th. So we'll be giving you more info on that coming up. And also be remembering the I guess it's FCA from Bremen is doing a trip to Honduras this year in April. Casey Hardy's going on that trip, and they're going to be doing building and ministering and a lot of cool things down there. So be praying for them. Be creative in ways that you can support them and all of that stuff. And just see Casey there. They're always every dollar that they take in past what their trip cost is, they're going to use it to build homes for people. And so that's a big focus. There's like 31 kids, 32 kids, 35 kids from Bremen that are going. So I am super pumped about that, and that's awesome. So be remembering that coming up. All right, with all of that being said, let's dive in. I'll try not to hold you too long. And we'll hit what we can this morning, and we've always got Wednesday night we can default to. Wednesday night... I came in and was basing my scripture out of Mark 8 and verse 18 specifically. And in Mark 8, we've got this, just this cool story that's going on with the disciples. I love the story of the disciples and all of that stuff, all the stories, because we see their humanity. I love the fact that God came in and He didn't go to seminary and pluck the Gamaliels, but He got the regular guys. I mean, He came in and, I mean, I'm serious, man. He pulled the Sids and the Rhetts and the Annies and the Terry Englishes and all of these people. And He said, man, I'm going to choose these guys to be my disciples. And you look at it and it kind of looks like a motley crew. Same thing if He pulled, heck, go into our leadership meetings on Tuesday nights and you walk in there and you're like, really, wow, this is the best we got. Kind of like Washington right now. This is the brightest and the greatest and all of that stuff. But the cool thing is that God brings ordinary people onto the scene and He uses them and He breathes into them and He anoints them. And I love what Sean Bolt says. Sean Bolt says that God allows those that are closest to us to see all of our faults and all of our failures and all of our struggles. And in doing so, when God does use us and the anointing flows through us, they recognize that this has to be God. Because I know Sid and I know how jacked he up he is in all of these areas. And then I see him ministering to people or releasing a word or leading in worship with you fill in the blank whoever. You know, I see Brett House up here, and I know Brett, I mean, golly, sometimes it's harder for those closest to us, our spouses and all that, because I know how he was yesterday, and he was not exactly a man of God yesterday. But then we see him stand up in the pulpit, and we're like, wow. I know you've felt that 1,000 times. I know Lori's felt it 10,000 times in 30 years of ministry, that she's like, I ain't real happy with him right now coming in, because this, or this, and all of that stuff. And, you know, wasn't exactly stellar yesterday. But then you see God breathing in and through us. And we know that it's God. That's the thing. Have you ever noticed the genealogy of Jesus? I mean, really, have you ever noticed that? You're sitting here like, man, you got Rahab. You got Ruth. You got all of these people that shouldn't fit. I mean, if you're coming in and if I'm running a proper genetic breeding program, that's not the stock that I'm choosing from. But God comes in and He says, I take all of these people as they are, regular guys, regular women, regular kids, and I breathe on them and I kiss them and I use them, and those are the ones, that's my people. That's my people. And so we see this in the Gospels, throughout the Gospels. And in Mark 8, we see one of the stories is Jesus and the disciples, they've gone up into the wilderness and preaching the Word. And all of these crowds that followed Jesus up there, the Word says that after 3 days, not at the beginning, but after 3 days, there were still 4,000 men plus their families, the kids, the wives. So you're looking at probably, in that culture, you're probably looking at 15,000 people that are 3 days into this, and they followed Jesus without taking thought for what am I going to do, eating, what are we going to do, sleeping, and all that stuff. Man, they just followed Him. And so they come in, and you've got these, say, 15,000 people up there, and they're sitting out there looking and say, what are we going to do to feed all of these people? And this is one of the miracles of Jesus providing food. And the multiplying the food. And so Jesus comes in, and He said, what do you have? And they said, well, we've got, I think in this case it was 7 loaves and a few small fishes. And they said, this is what we got. And He said, okay, let's break it and let's multiply it. Let's give it out. He just said, start dispersing it, and I'll multiply it. And so they start doing this, and we've got this great miracle of Jesus feeding all these people. We know the stories. We learned them in VBS and Sunday school when we were kids. And so Jesus does all of this. And then He disperses the crowd. He says, all right, man, y'all go on home. They get in a boat. They go to the other side of the lake. And as they go to the other side of the lake, they're met by the Pharisees, and all of a sudden they start questioning Jesus. And Jesus gets real aggravated with them because they want a sign. If you're God, show us a sign. He's like, well, dude, I just fed 15,000 people. You know, Jeff Foxworthy made about this is your sign. You might be God if you just multiply bread and feed 15,000 people. So that's what happened. And Jesus gets really aggravated with them saying, God, give me a sign, give me a sign, give me a sign. So much so that He left the scene. Some of you wonder why God is distant from you. It might be because He doesn't like hanging out with you because you keep requiring sign after sign after sign after sign. He still calls you son, but it's like, I need some space. Oh, y'all don't hear that, do you? I just need a little space from this cat. I'm here. And you call on me, but if you keep saying, sign, 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 how many times has God revealed Himself to you? Gordon? Sid? Cindy? But we're so bad about that. And the Pharisees come in. And then they come in and they get in the boat. And He starts talking to His disciples about beware the leaven of the Pharisees. Beware of the leaven of Herod. And the disciples are trying to grasp all this, because remember now, they're just regular guys like me and you, and they're like, what is God talking about? This happened, and we came over here, and these guys are questioning me and wanting a sign, and Jesus is aggravated because the Word says that he groaned in the Spirit, you know, heavily and all of this stuff. They know he's frustrated and aggravated. And then they get in the boat, and he starts telling us to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, and they're sitting there scratching their heads saying, man, I do not get it. And then one of the guys looked at the other and said, man, I think it's us because we didn't bring bread. See how we resort to elementary things and thinking sometimes, and we're like, man, we didn't bring bread. And so they start this thing, man, did you bring it? No, it was your job this time, and I didn't, and all this. So you got this going back and forth with these 12 guys because they forgot to bring provision. You know, they showed up for worship and forgot their guitar. And they're like, God's mad at us. And Jesus comes in and he says, why are you bantering back and forth about the fact that you forgot to bring bread? He said, don't you think I can multiply bread? That's what he's saying. He's not verbalizing that, but that's what he's saying. And he asked them three questions in 8:18 that we talked about Wednesday night. And the three questions that he asked them, he said, can you see? And at that point, they couldn't see what God was doing and what he was talking about. And he says, if you can't see, can you hear? And the truth is, guys, sometimes I can't see what God's doing. I love the Lord and I've got faith in the Lord, but I can't see what He's doing right now. God, I don't know what you're doing right now. I know you're involved in my life, but I can't see what you're doing. He said, well, if you can't see it, can you hear? And there are times when I can't see God, but I remember a word that He spoke to me. See, that was the thing with Abraham. Abraham's looking around and there are no heirs. There's no seed going on. First it's Ishmael and God's like, no, that's not it. Then it's Isaac and he says, go take him up on Mount Moriah and sacrifice him. And he's sitting there saying, I don't see this working. But he could always revert back to God said, I'm going to make a great nation out of you. So he couldn't see, but he could hear echoing in his mind the things that God was saying to him. But I'll be honest with you guys, sometimes I can't see and sometimes I can't hear. And so we ask him a third question. He says, can you remember? Can you remember? 90% of the time I can go back to God's goodness, God's faithfulness. 90% of the time when stuff is going on in my life, it is nothing new. Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun, but then he says, behold, I make a new thing, so go figure all that stuff out. 90% of the time, Brett, I can go back and I can remember. And I said, this is what God did last time. And He's faithful. And He's Jireh. And He's Rapha. And He's all of these things because I've seen Him do it time and time and time and time again. But every once in a while, I get in uncharted territory. I enter into new waters. And I've never been there before. And I'm like, I can't see what God's doing and I can't hear what God's saying right now. And I don't even have a reference point for this. Has anybody ever been in a place in their life where you don't have a reference point for? And you say, man, I've done it in ministry 100 times. Maybe not 100, but multiple times. Where I come in and I'm like, I don't have a reference point. I don't know how to minister to somebody in this place. I really don't. Or maybe God's taken me to this new place and He told Abraham, He said, I'm going to carry you to a land that you know not of. I'm going to carry you to a new place. And we come in and we don't have the vision. We don't have the sound. We don't have the reference point. And so God spoke something to me last week on this, and He said, in times like this, in places like this, you know what you just have to do? You just have to follow somebody. You just got to follow somebody. Not follow anybody, but follow somebody. Follow somebody that has walked a journey of faith and commitment and success. A lot of people come in and we want them to follow a God that they don't have a clue who He is. Maybe if you're a young couple and you're coming in and you don't know how to do all of this. And maybe you're new in your relationship with God and you're like, man, I don't know how all this works in with me raising kids and this and this and this. Then sometimes it's okay to just look at somebody and say, I'm going to follow what they're doing. We've been married 34 years and it's been amazing. It's okay to follow us for a while. Okay? My mom and dad were married for 60 years. And it was awesome. And it was good for me and Lori to look and say, that's what I want when I get old. Older. My mom's here this morning, so I can't say old. She's a young 80-year-old. You see what I'm saying in this, guys? We come in and we're like, man, I don't know about all this God stuff. Well, I hear in the community, and I hear a lot of people, and they talk about how awesome Brett House is. Might be because he was just a good soccer coach when his kids were coming through. Not that you knew what you were doing, but you cared about the kids. Evident. That Nick White, they don't know, they're not looking through our lens or from our perspective. That I've known God all of these years, but you got these little boys that are coming, I say little boys, these young men. Excuse me, if any of them are here today, you young men. They're coming through, and they're good athletes. And they don't know about all this stuff that you're talking about. They're not sure about all this SCA stuff, other than the fact I get a cool Chick-fil-A biscuit when Errol shows up. Right? So we're going to come, and we're going to see what it's all about and all that. And they can't see, and they can't hear, and they don't have a reference point. But they can look at somebody like you, and they say, you know what I can do? I can at least follow something that's in front of me. Some of the most influential people in our life are the people that we simply follow what they're doing for a season. I'm not saying that we choose people or we are the person in the place of God. One illustration I used Wednesday night, I don't know if you guys are like me, but if I'm on the interstate, and the interstate, that's why I detest I-75 because it always locks down. But if I'm on the interstate and the interstate locks down, you know the first thing that I'm looking for? An exit, a way off. A lot of times, I don't gain any time. But at least I'm moving. So I look for the first exit that I can find. And I say, how can I detour around this log jam? Especially when I start seeing people putting it in park. They put it in park and I'm like, I'm out of here. And so I start looking for a way out. How many of y'all have ever done that and you'll take an exit off something? I've got a pretty good sense of direction. You know, I know east, west, north, and south. And I know if I'm going west and I have to take a detour north, ultimately I've got to get back down south so I can catch my west and go that way. But I don't know all these side streets. So you know what I do? I look for somebody that looks like they know what they're doing. You do too, don't you? I look for somebody that acts like they know what they're doing. Now we got phones that help us out. But before phones, you know what I followed? Taillights. And I said, I've got a sense that this is the right direction, but I don't know all these little side streets, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to follow them. And usually, it works out okay. They're not going to 616 Rockmart Road. I'm not asking them to take me home. I'm just asking them to help me get around this detour. And a lot of times we become paralyzed in our life because we can't see, we can't hear, and we don't have a reference point of remembrance. And so what we have to learn to do is I'm going to follow somebody to get around this detour in my life until I get back on the course of where I exactly know where I'm at. Some of you guys may be in that place. It's not a coincidence y'all were here today. I mean, y'all caught it Wednesday night. You're going to catch it today. Some of you guys may be in that place. And it may be a thing where it's like, man, I'm here and I'm struggling and I don't know about my future and I don't know this and this and this and this. Well, right now, it's okay just to follow somebody. It's okay just to follow somebody. Maybe somebody that's at the end of 10 months and they've been through inner healing and you're about to enter into inner healing and inner healing stinks and nobody likes inner healing, but they love what it brings out of people. So maybe you come through and you look at a Jason that's done the deal. You know? You look at a Shane Sauls that's done the deal. and say, man, these guys have been, so you know what, I'll just follow this guy. This guy says this is the path, so I'm going to trust him on this. Sometimes that's all we got. We're not operating in faith, we're operating in hope. It would be a great world if we operated in faith 100% of the time. But sometimes, if I'm in a place of uncertainty, I don't have a ton of faith. You know what I do have, though? I do have hope. First person I think about on that's Naaman. Naaman had leprosy. We know the story, and I won't spend a lot of time because I want to get into my text here in just a second. This is just a long introduction. And Naaman was coming in, and Naaman had leprosy, and he was the general of the Syrian army and all of that stuff. And a little servant girl says, man, if you got around the prophet down in Israel, he could heal you. He didn't know nothing about a prophet down in Israel. But he had hope that there was somebody that could heal him. And so you know what he did? He operated out of hope. And he followed somebody and went down and he found a prophet in Israel. And he found Elisha. And then Elisha gave him a word. He heard a word then, and so then what did he do? He went and dipped 7 times and he was healed because then he was operating out of faith. So I want us to get this. Is everybody grabbing the groundwork on that? Is everybody grasping the groundwork on this? All right? This will help you. Now, this is good for us this morning. All right, now, I want us to talk about responding to hope. I want to spend just a few minutes in John 21. I love Peter's one of my favorite guys in the Bible. And I tell you why Peter's one of my favorite guys in the Bible. Not because he was bold. I've heard a lot of people say, well, I love Peter because Peter reminds me of me. The reason I love Peter is not because Peter reminds me of me. The reason I love Peter is because I love God's dealings with Peter. I love God's interaction with Peter. Because I look at Peter and all these different aspects of his life as a snapshot of us. And I love the way that God deals with him. Absolutely love it. Peter was the most vocal of the disciples. He was the leader of the disciples. He was the verbal leader of the disciples. Whenever you saw something going on, Peter, man, he had to answer. He was a man of action, said, this is what we're going to do. He would come in and Jesus would ask him a question and say, well, Lord, he got revelation from the Holy Spirit. Told him who Jesus was. God blessed him for that. Jesus blessed him for that. You know, he's the one that came out and picked a fight with a Roman soldier, Malchus' servant. He says, man, you ain't taking my Jesus. Cuts his ear off. He's probably going to lose that fight. I guarantee you with Roman soldiers there, trained Roman soldiers, what was Peter? Fisherman. You think a fisherman is going to be able to stand up to a trained Roman soldier? Number one, he ain't wearing any armor, and they've got armor. So I love the boldness of Peter. I love the way that Peter just moved on in. I'm not going to say impulse. I'm going to say move on instinct. I'm going to protect the one I love. And I love all these things about Peter. But the thing that we see in the crucifixion of Jesus is Peter's biggest failure. And Peter comes in here. And we all know the story that Peter denied Jesus by the fire in the courtyard. And 3 different times they said, you're one of Jesus' disciples. And he said, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Explicitly the last time, no, I'm not. And then the rooster crows. And he remembered what Jesus said about before this evening is out, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. Because he had just boasted, Lord, that these jokers around me, they may bail on you. I'm never going to bail on you. And he dropped the ball. I know some of us in the zenith of our faith, we feel like, man, I am never going. I've heard people say, this is as small as I'm ever going to be. And 6 months later, they're struggling. But God still calls them son. God still calls him son. And so this is what we see in Peter. And Peter's coming in right here. And he's all bold and he's all, man, you know, he's just like, man, I've got this zeal for Christ. I love what God did in my life. Nobody makes me feel like this. He was a disciple of John before he was a disciple of Jesus. And so you've got all this going on. But then he drops the ball, totally drops the ball, denies Jesus 3 times. And then to make matters worse, I feel like, everybody looks and they say, man, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. To me, the thing that kind of put the accentuation on this is Peter wasn't at the cross. He wasn't at the cross. John was, and the Marys were, but Peter wasn't at the cross. And so not only did he deny him, he failed to show up when maybe Christ needed a strengthening, comforting, undergirding face more than anything. And he wasn't there. And so most of us, that would have been the end of our Christian faith and our Christian journey. We'd have punted right then and been like, man, because I guarantee the enemy comes in. I believe the reason that Peter wasn't at the cross because of the shame of what happened in the courtyard. Shame will paralyze you worse than anything. And I believe he operated in a place of shame right here. If anything can happen this morning, off everybody here today, I pray that a yoke of shame that the enemy tries to put on you, that's a big thing he'll put on you guys, because you'll sit here and you'll say, oh man, I'm a failure. I let people down. I guarantee you, every one of you and every one of us has had people where we felt like we let people down. And so the enemy comes in and he puts shame on us. And we're like, golly, man, I let my wife down. I let my kids down. I let my parents down. I let my boss down. I let myself down. If you're a Christian, I let the church body down and all of this stuff. And so the enemy comes in and tries to put shame on us. And God really wants to break that off of y'all today. He wants to break that off of us today. So there's not a yoke of shame on us. And the reason I say that I absolutely love Jesus' dealings with Peter, because Peter had all of this going on. And guess who the first disciple that Jesus went to see was? Wasn't John. It's Peter. It was Peter. And Peter comes in this, and he's not at the cross, and John was. And here's the awesome thing about the disciples, guys, that we forget. One of them committed suicide, but we still got 11 guys hanging around. And in John 20, who's together? 10 of the disciples. If anybody could have cast a stone at Peter, it would have been John. Because John didn't deny him. John was standing at the foot of the cross. Jesus came in and he starts coming in and declaring family, a new family. And he said, behold your son, behold your mother. He goes out of relationship, covenant type relationship, and goes into a deeper type covenant relationship and said, now you're family. You were fellowship, but now you're family. You were community, but now you're family. And John was the one that this was getting released into. And so John's sitting here, and Peter's on this outside, or what we would consider on the outside. And then we see Jesus coming and meeting with Peter. It's not recorded in the Scripture what was said, but in Luke, I think it's chapter 24, it said that Jesus met with Peter before he met with the other disciples. Showed himself to Peter before he did the other disciples. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says Jesus met Cephas before he met the other disciples. Somewhere in that afternoon, Jesus goes and he meets with Peter and he says, your son. You're not rejected. You're not prodigal. Your son. I know you blew it. I saw we made eye contact. I noticed you weren't at the cross. But you're still my son. You're still my child. I still desire a relationship with you. And that's why I say my favorite thing about Peter is the way God dealt with him. The way that Jesus dealt with him. So he goes and he restores him privately, not with all the other disciples. It'd been one thing if he came in and said, all right, guys, we're having a group meeting, and let me tell you something. I know Peter dropped the ball, but I command all you guys, y'all have got to embrace him and love him and forgive him because I forgive him. That didn't happen. Jesus just met with Peter, and then all of a sudden, the next thing we see, all the disciples are in a room besides Thomas, and you got everybody there but Judas and Thomas. Who is there? John. Who is there? Peter. There's something that we need to learn in this journey of faith that we're on, guys, is that we're different places in life and we're going to drop the ball and we're going to blow it. But as we do that, it doesn't mean that we cast each other off and discard each other. So important. If I only followed people that never dropped the ball, there would be nobody for me to follow. A lot of your superheroes in faith didn't end too well. Your John G. Lakes and people like that, they didn't end too great. Doesn't mean they weren't mighty men of God. In our time, Jimmy Swaggart, people like that. You know, we love him until we find out he's got a problem, then we want a bazooka shot him. Right? And we come in and we say, I can't follow anybody because they're flawed. God said, I know. That's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it. If she looked at me and said, I can only follow him if he's not a flawed man, then she would never be able to follow me. Because I'm flawed. She says, I know his flaws, but I see God's grace in his life. I see God's power in his life. I see God's call in his life. And I can follow that. I want to give you liberty today to trust people again. Because cynicism has crept into the church. And we look around and we're like, I can't trust anybody. I can't trust my swim coach. I can't trust my gymnastics coach. I can't trust my politicians. I can't trust my church leaders. I can't trust my wrestling coach. I can't trust any of these guys because I'm afraid of what either has happened or what will happen. And it paralyzes us in the times when we can't see, hear, or remember. I may be good 80% of the time, but there's 20% of the time I just need to latch on to somebody and follow them. I need help getting around a detour. Man, Jacob and Stephanie, this thing that y'all have gone through this year, that y'all are going through right now and all of that stuff, that is the most serious detour in somebody's life and faith and all of that. And none of us can imagine it. It's uncharted territories for every one of us. But the thing is, the thing that I see, and I'm pretty close to the situation because we're good friends and all that, but the thing that I see is y'all are like, I don't understand this. I can't see. I can't hear. And I certainly have no point of reference. So you know what y'all done? Y'all said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to follow a group of people. And I'm going to follow the Matt and Michelle's and the Brett and Aaliyah's and the Rhett and the Ariel's and the Sid and the Lori's and these other people. Because I can't see and I can't hear and I have no point of reference. But I'm going to follow them around this detour. Because there's something about them that I see that I'm going to follow. And it's probably just because of the fact that these folks have loved y'all so doggone much. And they've got faith and hope in their life. If there's three things that I can have in life, it's faith, hope, and love. Don't follow me for my works, people, because my works will disappoint you. Don't follow me for my perfection, because I'm a flawed and imperfect man. But if you want to follow me, the only reason you can follow me, Beth, is because I carry three things, and that's faith, hope, and love. That's three things that I can carry. If I can leave anything to my children and to my grandchildren, you know what it is? Faith, hope, and love. They'll never be able to say Poppy was a saint or Poppy was perfect or Dad was perfect or anything like that. But you know what they'll say? He carried faith, hope, and love. I'm going to tell you something, guys. In these detour times, you know what you need to follow? The people that are carrying faith, hope, and love. If they're not carrying faith, hope, and love, don't follow them. I don't care what kind of doctrine they speak, because in those times you don't need correct doctrine. You know what you need? You need faith, hope, and love. You need faith, hope, and love. I can come in and I can try to explain Scripture to you and say this, this, and this. You know, half the time I really don't know when I'm just saying, it might be this. I can't give y'all scriptural points of reference, but I can give you faith, hope, and love. That's the fruits of the Spirit. It's birthed out of the Spirit. And so I look at this with Peter, and there was something about Peter that these guys still followed him. Do y'all not find that amazing? You know who the next leader that should have stepped up on this should have been? John, the beloved. He was in the inner circle. He was one of the three. He did not deny Christ. He stood at the base of the cross, and Jesus said, "This is your mother and this is your son." And it brought them into this new place of family, out of community into family. And if anybody's going to step up, it's going to be John. And everybody says, "Man, Peter, you blew it. You're lucky we're even letting you in a room, but we're following John." But I look in John 21 right here. And Peter comes in, and Simon Peter said unto them, "I go a-fishing." And they said unto him, "We also go with thee." And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And I've heard this preached many times, and it said this is a good picture of being backslid and all of that stuff. And I don't think so. I don't think they were backslid here. We never see a rebuke from the Lord as He comes and He meets these guys. They were returning to a place of familiarity. When I don't have a specific reference point in Scripture for what's happening right now, you know what I do have? Faith, hope, and love. I said something Wednesday night, and I hope it was received well, and I hope it wasn't received that Sid's not 100% in on the Word. I'm 100% in on the Word, but this is not the totality of God. Brett, this is not the totality of God. John comes in, and John had more revelation of who God was than anybody. And he said all the volumes of the books in the world could not contain who Jesus was and what he did. So for me to come in and say these 66 books are the totality of God, I think that's putting him in a pretty small box. And so you know what I say this is instead? This is a gateway. This is a gateway. This is a gateway. And when they didn't have answers, you know what they did? They went back to a place of familiarity. And when I don't have answers, you know what I go back to? The love of God. Faith in Him. Hope in Him. The love that He's stirring in me and each other and all of this stuff. That's what I have to go back to. And so I want us to understand something in this Scripture. And I really want to bring something out for us right here. As we look at this and the fact that these disciples followed Peter, to me it says a lot about them, him, and God. He came in and he says, I'm going fishing. Didn't say I'm quitting on what God's doing. He simply said, I'm going to a place of familiarity. I'm going to a place where I'm comfortable. I'm surrounding myself with people that I'm comfortable with, and we're going to a place. And here's the cool thing about this, is God met them there. That's what I want you to get out of this. As I'm following somebody with the right heart, maybe in a place, their world was turned upside down, guys. Think about this for just a second as we close this up this morning. We'll continue this later, but think about this for just a moment. You're a disciple, and you've got 3.5 years of absolute. You're following Jesus and everything is as it should be. He says, I'm God, and you've seen all the evidence to prove that He is. And you're saying, the Messiah's here. And then all of a sudden you see Him nailed to a cross. And you see Him going into a tomb. And everything changes. Even if you believe and you've seen the resurrection, which they had, and he's ultimately going to be with the Father and all that stuff, everything's changed. And now their world's turned upside down, and they're like, how do we minister if we're not following Jesus? Good point, right? What does this thing look like? What does this faith journey look like? I mean, you guys are going to hit this in a few years. You still got Trevor coming through. What does my life look like when my nest is empty? What does it look like when we're not going to dance and to cheerleading and to soccer and to football and all of this stuff? What happens when the house is empty and the noise is quiet and I look across the room and I'm staring at Brett House? Don't mean to scare you. But that's very real. What does my life look like then? What does my ministry look like then? What does my journey look like then? We all go through these changes. You're about to go into this now with this baby that you're going to be having in just a few weeks. You're like, man, I'm going from me to us. I'm going to us to really us. And all of a sudden, this, what does it look like in that is uncharted territory? So what are you naturally going to do? He said, well, I'm going to look to God, and I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to this, but you know what else you're going to do? I'm going to talk to other moms that are navigating this course. And I'm going to follow them, and I'm going to pick things, and they're things that are going to be great and work and all of that. And I may look at a Tiffany or a Lear, or you fill in the blank. There's a house full of them here. And say, man, they're their kids are this. That's what I want for mine. I want it to feel like family, and I want it to feel like home, and I want to feel all of these things. And they're coming in. So you know what you're going to do? You're going to come in, and you're going to follow somebody else. Does it mean they're not flawed? Yeah, they're flawed. Does it mean not, they don't drop the ball sometimes? Yeah, they drop the ball sometimes. But you know what they're carrying? They're carrying faith. They're carrying hope. They're carrying love. And these guys came in and they said, I'm following Peter. And the reason they said, I'm following Peter is because they said, I see God's kiss on his life. It's not because Peter's got it all going on. Maybe before the fall it was Peter's got it all going on. Peter comes in and he's got this revelation. Think about this for just a second. Peter comes in and he's got this revelation of who Jesus is. Jesus comes to the disciples and he says, who do men say that I am? And they'll say, well, some say you're John the Baptist, and some say you're reincarnated, some say you're Elijah, and some say you're this, and some say you're that. And he looks at them straight up and says, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter comes in with this amazing revelation. What does Peter say? He said, you're the Messiah. So what does God say to him? What does Jesus say to him? He said, man, blessed are you because the Holy Spirit's already revealed this to you. And they're sitting there and their world's getting rocked because the Holy Spirit just revealed that to Peter. And you know what all these guys are thinking? Man, I wish the Holy Spirit would speak to me like that. And then they see Peter in the garden and he pulls his sword out and he whacks his ear off. And I guarantee you some of those guys after the fact, I know Jesus rebuked him a little bit, but I guarantee you some of them guys after the fact were saying, man, I was just about to do that myself. They looked up to Peter's boldness. They looked up to Peter's insight. They looked up to Peter's confidence. They looked up to all of these things. But after the fall, you know what they looked up to and you know what they followed? They didn't follow his boldness. They didn't follow the fact that he had this great revelation. They didn't have the fact follow him for the fact that he had it all going on. They followed him for the simple fact that he had God's kiss on his life. It's okay to follow a flawed man as long as he's got God's kiss on his life. I'm not saying follow him off a cliff. I'm not saying follow him through the detours of life. As long as he's got God's kiss on his life. It's not okay to follow a unflawed, what you see is a unflawed guy that doesn't have God's kiss on his life. Because you know what we'll do is we'll look at successful business people. We'll look at what we deem as successful. Why do you think our kids idolize movie stars? Absolutely blows my mind. I don't want to be like somebody that's got the issues and the junk in some of these guys' lives. I'm like, my gosh, it scares me to death that some of these people are our role models and all of that. You know who I want my kids and my grandkids' role models to be? Somebody that's got God's kiss on their life. That's my point this morning, guys. That's my thing this morning, guys. Look to somebody that's got God's kiss on their life. You know how I've always known our business was going to make it? Never been a shadow of doubt in my mind. And you can ask my wife and you can ask James and the conversations we had. The reason I absolutely know that I've always been confident, even when we wasn't making money and we're losing money and all this stuff. And I've absolutely known that our business was going to make it because God's kiss was on it. And if God's kiss is on you, you can't fail. You might have a detour, but you can't fail. You might stumble, Peter, but you can't fail. Because God's kiss is always going to find you. And he comes to Peter, and he puts his kiss on him. And then he comes in the upper room with these guys, not the upper room, but in the room where they're joined together in John 20. Guess who's there? Peter, and guess what he gets again? God's kiss on him. And so Peter comes in and says, I'm going fishing. And you know what? They think there's seven guys that say, we're going with you. A couple non-fishermen didn't go. They missed out on an awesome thing. But they saw that God's kiss was on them. Here's twofold in this, and I'll close with this. I've got like several pages of notes, and perhaps we'll get into that later. But here's two things that I want to leave you with this morning. Know for a fact. Listen to me, this is important. Know for a fact that you will enter into seasons of your life where you do not have a reference point for. I promise you it will happen. I've seen people that have never been unemployed before, and all of a sudden the company that they work for does away with their job, and they've been an employee for 25 years, and all of a sudden they're unemployed, and they're like, what in the world do I do? What in the world do I do? I've seen people lose a spouse, and they say, all I know is married life. All I can remember right now is just married life. One day one of us is going to have to do unmarried life. Some of you, your whole life has been wrapped up in your children. Well, one day, guess what? They're going, Hannah's moving out. Mary's moving out. Yep, Trevor's moving out too. And your whole life's for the last 18, spread them out, 20-something years, has been wrapped up in raising kids. And all of a sudden you come into this place and you're like, what's next? What do I do? Guys, I'm not talking about when we screw up and have failure. I'm just talking about life. And we don't have a reference point in our life. We've never been there before. You've never dealt with empty nest. This your first right answer? Okay, I thought so. You've never dealt with 2 a.m., what do I do with a screaming baby? And I'm operating on 3 hours sleep this week. Not today, this week. And it's new ground for us. Let your reference point be somebody that God's kiss is on their life. Let that be your reference point. Not somebody that's perfect, because if anybody tells you they've got child raising figured out down to a T, they're a liar and delusional. If anybody tells you they've got this faith journey all figured out, and that there are no hiccups, and there are no stumbles, and there are no falls, run as fast as you can from them. Not to them, from them. All right? But here's what I want to tell you. What you need to do is you need to run to somebody. You need to follow somebody. You need to latch on to somebody that God's kiss is on their life. I didn't say a perfect man. I said a man that's God's kiss is on their life. I didn't say a perfect woman, a woman that God's kiss is on their life. You guys are a bunch of guys. You guys that are single and not married, let me tell you what kind of woman to look for. Don't look for the hottest chick. Don't look for the coolest chick. Look for the chick that's got God's kiss on her life. And if you find a woman that's got God's kiss on her life, hopefully she'll be the other things also. You know? I mean, you know, we want to knock it out of the park. We don't want to settle for a, you know, error by the second baseman. But go for somebody that God's kiss is on their life. Because some of you have been the other way. It didn't turn out so well. Yeah, man, I married the hot chick, and then she slept with my best friend. Who can find a virtuous woman? So the key in my life, in these uncharted territories, when I can't see and I can't hear and I don't have a reference point, is I'm going to follow somebody that's got God's kiss on their life. All right, and the flip side of this, let me throw this out there to you. Y'all go ahead and stand to your feet. Linda, come on up on the keyboard, if you will. Everybody in here that's in the community of faith, the family of faith, you're saved. You're wanting to serve God. What are you striving for more than anything? Performance, perfection, success, getting your act together. You say, yeah, man, those are things that are important and all of that stuff. They're the cart. You know what the horse is? God's kiss on your life. That's why he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He wasn't talking about getting a handle on your sin management. He was talking about getting God's kiss on your life. Y'all know what I'm saying by meaning getting God's kiss on your life? When God comes in a place of relationship and he says, T.W., you're my beloved. And I know you're not perfect. But you're still my beloved. I know you're flawed. I know your thoughts. I know you stumble. I know you screw up and all that stuff. But I still choose you. And in me choosing you, you know what you do? You choose me right back. You say yes to me. And as long as we've got this relationship going through life, one way I know she really loves me, I don't look like I used to. I'm gaining weight. I feel like I'm falling apart sometimes. I'll be honest with you. Chasing some heifers Friday and I couldn't even make a 100-yard dash, Brett. I don't know that I made 50. Leroy, I think I got about 30 yards and was like, my gosh, I'm old. My hip was hurting. I was gassed. My legs were gashed from saw briars. Bleeding. I was like, it's rough. I threw off a horse 2 hours later to put the cherry on top. I was like, glorious day. Rick, she still loves me. I'm bald. I'm old. I'm out of shape. I need to lose 10, 12. She still loves me. I'm unfaithful. I'm undisciplined. I don't seek Him first. Sometimes I'm cynical. Sometimes I'm indifferent. And yet He still loves me. If I can have anything in life, it's God's kiss on my life. If you can have anything in life, it's God's kiss on your life. Because people can follow that. You know why you guys can believe in this church? Y'all come every Wednesday night. Man, we got a new group of you guys every 10 months, you know, rotating out and all that. And y'all come in, and the thing that I would tell Shane and the thing that I would tell Jason, they know these things. The reason that you guys can believe in this church is because God's kiss is on a group of imperfect people. We're not the best in everything. I'm not the best communicator. We don't have the best musicians. We don't have the best singers. We don't have the best structure. We don't have the best programs. We don't have the best facility. But you know what we do have? We've got God's kiss on our life. And that's what you need. You don't need perfection. You need God's kiss on your life. Seek ye first. God's kiss. It's all you need. It's all you need. It's all I want. It's all I want. People can follow that. What's my legacy? Faith, hope, and love, I hope. If I got a legacy I'm going to leave Nick, you know what it's going to be? He's a man of faith, hope, and love. You know what that equals? God's kiss. This morning, if you are missing God's kiss on your life, all you have to do is come to Him and say, God, I want it. You might be Peter and you've had the kiss before and you dropped the ball and you need that reaffirming kiss, then come to Him on that. You've never experienced it before. Come to Him and say, God, I want it. God, I need it. God, I need it. Come on down, man. Come on down. Just don't wait. I don't know how to do altar calls. I didn't figure that out a long time ago. But if God's moving on you, then stir and then come on. God's moving on you, come on.
If you've been in this faith and you've been trying to get perfection right, and you've been trying to do this right, and you've been trying to do that right, and like Peter, you dropped the ball, and you're aspiring for the wrong thing, start aspiring for God's kiss on your life. Say, brother, I've been saved for 30 years. I've been baptized in the Holy Ghost for 20 years. I've been in ministry for 20 years. People aren't going to follow that. They're going to follow God's kiss on your life. And if that's not evident, come running to Him. If that's not evident, come running to Him. That's what your children will follow. I got a newsflash. They already know you're not a perfect parent. They already know you don't have it together. They know you're not a perfect grandmother. Hate to crack the egg. But you know what they'll follow and you know what they'll look up to? It's God's kiss on your life. They'll say, my mama and my daddy, they love Jesus and He loves them back. My grandparents, they love Jesus and He loves them back. That's what draws the past. That's what's going to cause people to follow. So if anybody needs to move, man, you just come on down. Come on down. Let's just spend some time with Him for a moment.